It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 353.
The shop is open. What is happening?
It is, what time is it? It's 5 minutes to 10. I'm still getting used to my analog clock.
Yeah, I'm feeling the pump because I'm going to be on Scooter Derrick's podcast.
Oh, that's true.
He would. I know he does it. Every time I say Scooter Derrick, I know he doesn't like it anymore.
That's okay. It's not his choice.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't. I think that a little bit of pushback from someone's nickname is fine.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you who doesn't give pushback to the nickname. Mm. Big T.
Big T loves his nickname.
Big T, you're just owning it, mate.
I'm waiting for Big T to change his Instagram handle to Big T. That's when we know it's full cut through.
Well, we got 3D Dill who, before he moved to Australia, had 3D Dill, the daily talk show.
Yeah.
We really appreciate that.
Would you ever think about putting it as your Instagram handle?
I would, but then I would lose all the other pictures that I was tagged in as my old username.
Oh, good point.
So that's why I haven't changed it yet.
Oh, that's a good consideration.
Yeah.
I mean, is it more likely to happen than you getting the daily talk show tattoo?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Is 3D Dill even available on Instagram?
He
probably.
3D Dill got some got a message from his mate over in Canada.
So I got a message from one of my friends, Haley, that said, "Dylan, please don't get a daily talk show tattoo with the crying, laughing emoji face and a heart emoji. She said, get a kangaroo or a palm tree or a little sun or something."
No, they're terrible ideas. Do we agree they're terrible ideas?
One, you just flat out look like a tryhard. The other, they don't know what it means.
Yeah,
exactly. TDTS, the daily talk show. I don't know. It could be a homage to your grandfather or something. I don't know.
Send us an email, hi@thedailytalkshow.com. Do you have a hashtag as a tattoo, or do you know anyone that has a hashtag?
Like just the hash?
No, like a hashtag, and then it's actually written something.
Are we going to
look back and think that hashtags were something that we used to do, but it's not really?
Yeah. Well, they were so irrelevant before Twitter. Was that the first case for them? Hashtags or Instagram?
Yeah, I reckon Twitter made them.
They pioneered it.
I think.
Yeah. Well, Bernard wrote in and he reckons that Dill should get an Aussie tribal tattoo.
What is that?
I've seen some.
What
of
is
it.
That? A beer can?
I would consider Aussie. That.
What is Aussie tribal?
But tribal, maybe it's Aboriginal or whatever, which is like, a lot of cultural misappropriation or whatever.
I mean, Australia is the country. I don't know if it's. Maybe it's just because he's from overseas, so maybe that's what he's meaning. Okay, I get you.
It's a style. It's a style of tattoo.
Or he thinks that people that just got tribal tattoos were mostly bogan Australians. Yeah.
Well, we don't really have – the interesting thing is like in New Zealand there's like a big sort of tribal
– Maori.
Yeah. And so would it be – is it frowned upon? I mean, Mr. 97, you moved from New Zealand to Australia when you were, what, 7 or something?
Yeah.
Seven. Yeah. I wonder, is it, there's something a little bit naff, just a little bit of someone getting a Japanese written tattoo if you don't speak Japanese or if you can't understand it.
I mean, that was big. So we're talking about the types of tattoos. So there's been the Japanese stamp at the bottom of the back. Mm. Then you've got the tribal tattoos, which are, I don't know where they come from. Some of the wrestlers had them back in the day. But yeah, you're right. Like but as it goes on.
But there is a thing where it's not it's only bogan if you don't know the cultural, like it feels like if you're gonna get something you need to understand it. It's a little bit like me wearing a New York Yankees hat.
No, I think you're talking about cultural appropriation as opposed to just being a bogan tourist.
Cultural.
No, I fucked it up and said cultural inappropriation last time.
And then you just
said. Cultural appropriation.
Yeah, you didn't do that bit. I'm curious at what does it actually mean?
Cultural appropriation.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Yeah, I said the A bit, cultural appropriation. I'm just a bogan Australian that says. Drops like.
But I don't know either. I'm not saying that I know the.
So what you're saying, like, so for instance, there's like Mexican tattoos. So the Day of the Dead, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Where there's So it's
the
like.
Is that the big festival?
The festival, yeah, Mexico.
Okay, so Mexican. Here you go. Cultural appropriation.
That's exactly what I said.
Not cultural appropriation.
Cultural appropriation. I'm a bogan Australian. That
would you have spelt it with an A though?
Of course, fucking would have. How else do you spell it? Cultural. And then appropriation.
I think you would have spelled it K-U-L-T-U-R-P-R-O.
One word.
Yeah, that's what.
One fucking word.
Appropriation. Anyway, cultural. The thing is, I don't know what it means. So we're learning. cultural. This is where we need Ruth McGowan, because she would be fucking schooling us on cultural appropriation. But here it is. The unacknowledged or inappropriate adoption of the customs, practices, ideas, etc. of one people or society by members of another, and typically more dominant people or society.
Yeah. So it's like saying the privileged using the beautiful Indian headwear of the Native Americans.
This is probably just like not a good area.
No, but hang on. You haven't fucking let me finish.
Go on.
Using it as some kind of a, you know, outfit for a fancy dress party. And so it's some taking something from a culture. Like it's going so far as to you can't dress up as a Mexican anymore. Like you can't wear a sombrero anymore.
I think you can wear a sombrero.
No, then you're fucking way off because you haven't looked online and seen the
Mexican cantina. You
can't wear a Bruce Lee outfit from when he used to, you know, in his films where he's doing the one inch punch and it's like he's got this, it's like a yellow.
But
it's,
where are you getting this? When you say you can't.
You can't, as in look online, there's a lot of noise being made by people who are, you know, getting very upset about this stuff. But I don't know exactly where it's coming from. If someone from that culture said directly to me, well, that's offensive.
It says an unacknowledged or inappropriate adoption. Like, yeah, I guess there is the... we can interpret things how we want to. I think there's a scale. I think that the idea of you can't do anything anymore and you can't do this and you can't do that. Like, I think there is, can you dress up as the village people? I don't know.
I mean, that was my costume when I was a stripper.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
I don't think you could anymore. I don't think it would be seen as acceptable in most of culture right now.
What do you think? Ready, Joe?
It's tough just because if you're doing it in a respectful way, like there was a
whole taking my clothes off while wearing.
that maybe not, but like there was a big thing at Coachella a few years ago where some girl had on like a Native American headdress,
yeah,
with the tribal flowers and everything, and it caused a whole bunch of backlash from that community saying it's like, Our culture and our religion is not your Coachella outfit, kind of a thing.
Well, I think that's my point with the tribal thing. I think anything that is, if you're doing anything tribal in the context that we're in, it's probably not appropriate.
Yeah, but then that's my point to the Mexican, the Day of the Dead. A lot of people have
sombrero.
That.
Sombrero.
No, not that. The Day of the Dead. I'll show you. Do you know what it is?
Yeah.
Day of the face. So it's like the woman's face and it's like, yeah, there's like a stitching on one of the eyes. Mm-hmm. It looks fucking cool. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so there's been, I know a bunch of guys who've got those tattoos. And so at what point does it become like our fuck?
That's why the Daily Talk Show tattoo is so safe. I think we're pretty open for, I'm happy for misappropriation of the Daily Talk Show.
I don't think it'll go there. it will never get that far.
Yeah, if we could get viral,
unless
like
we
that.
Create some huge cult out of this, and then it's just like,
yeah. Talking about the cult, if you want to get the patch, the final opportunity is tomorrow. Is that right, Mr. 97?
Yes. Yeah.
The 24th.
Cut off is tomorrow, Friday.
So this is your second last chance. You're selling it like it's today is the cut off.
Sorry. So thank you, Ruth. Thank you, Helen, for your reviews. As well.
So I tell you where the problem lies in this country.
Here we go.
Debt.
Uh-huh.
I had an experience last night speaking with the lovely people from Latitude Finance.
Mm-hmm. So we're trying to get some Apple computers.
Yeah.
And so what's the deal?
What I mean, it's never been easier. Like I literally filled out a form online. The next minute you've got $6,000 of credit card.
Well, if you got pay slips and all that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. And also, I put in the wrong date of birth. So I was a 90-year-old guy.
And they still gave.
That forgot to mention that I have a car that I make repayments on. But they're like,
did you end up fixing that or no?
Here's the ridiculous. This is what I called, right? Because I'm like, the woman from Apple called me and said, yep, it's all gone through, blah, blah, blah. Let me just confirm a few details. It's like, thought you sounded younger. I thought you didn't sound old. because I had 1928 instead of 1988 as my birth year. And she's like, oh, you can change that, blah, blah, blah. So I called up to change it. It is quicker for me to cancel that card and reapply.
I wouldn't do that.
Then change my my date of birth. So what you have to do is send in proof via fucking physical mail or a fax machine. Who, I mean,
a 90-year-old would be able to do that. If you were 90, like, it would be perfect.
No problem. But then it takes 10 days for it to apply after that. I was like, this does not make sense.
Well, the thing is, you'll then get, like, from a credit score point of view, it will count as another hit.
Why?
Because every single time you apply for something that requires credit,
yeah,
it actually affects your
But let's
in
be
Australia.
Honest, it's not a payment default. They would be happy to give me it.
Yeah.
This is the thing. They're
did you do that? Or no,
I didn't. I actually had a conversation with the fourth person because I kept on getting sent around. I was like, can you please put me onto someone of senior nature? And they said, no problem. And then I get sent back to the first department that had nothing to do. It was the worst customer service until this lovely guy I spoke to. And I was like, so you're telling me I can just continue with my birthday being 1928? And he's like, yeah, just do that.
I think that's the easiest thing. I think that's it. Like,
I'm a 90-year-old bloke. Who,
in regards to Apple.
I've had a job for 8 months with this company and they've given me a bunch of cash. Like, I wonder if they're looking at that and going, as a 90-year-old guy. He's done pretty soon.
Well, you would even think
get his money somehow.
I feel like my thought was that they would use the date of birth, they would use your driver's license and the address and they'd make sure it all matches up. Oh, wouldn't you have thought
you
that was the whole thing?
Because I'm like, they're like, oh, we'll just need to confirm your identity via your driver's license. I was like, shouldn't that fucking be done before you give me the 6 grand?
Yeah, yeah.
So I got the 6 grand. There's nothing about that. But it was... I just had this feeling of like, fuck, you see why there's a problem with debt in this country. And you see why so many people can easily just walk out and get a fucking card.
Yeah.
Crazy. Have you got a credit card yourself, Dill? 3D Dill?
Yeah, I do.
What's the process in Canada?
Pretty similar to here.
Is there much noise being made about the issue that the country has with giving money to anybody? Or is it not the same?
It's about the same. It's a little harder to get money in Canada. Mm. Like if you want to get, like I haven't had to do it a whole lot, but when I was applying for college and school, I got OSAP loans, which is basically the government gives you a loan to help pay for school. That was one of the longest processes. It was like a 3.5 hour process just on the computer. Just going through filling out a whole whack ton of stuff. But they were legitimate with matching your driver's license, matching any form of ID that you had.
Yeah. So well, it should though.
But that's what I thought. I'm sure there's just some sort of oversight with this specific one. But the education debt is the interesting one because people spend, it's like Matt Diavella talking about $90,000.
97, mate.
It was, well, 97, but he spent 10 grand on a car. So it was about 80-something thousand.
I thought it was more because he spent $10,000.
No, it was like 10,000 below because he failed 2 subjects or something. Or put them off or something like that.
That's what I love about Diavella. He shares all of the bits and pieces, which he can do now that he's sort of out of it and seen the other side.
What is it? Hex debt. It's like
it's a hex loan. Yeah.
Amy's got some hex debt from years and years ago that's slowly being paid off, and it wasn't being paid off for ages for some reason. She had to chase it up and work it out, and it was based around how much government payment she was getting for the baby and how much she was earning. Mm-hmm. It's complicated, but like think about when you put your head in the sand about this shit and you're just like, whatever, I've got this.
Yeah,
I've ended up here. You see why Barefoot's banging on so much about this.
Yeah, I've started waking up a different way.
What are the ways of... Oh, okay, so there's... I mean, the only way is... an alarm, so some kind of alarm, or naturally.
Yeah.
So what way are you waking up?
It's a bit of both.
What?
Think about it.
There's a bit of both. There's an alarm, you turn it off, and then the sun wakes you up.
Mm. So I have an alarm that has the sun built into it, and it lights up our room for like 10 minutes before I wake up, and it wakes me up before the alarm goes off.
Okay. And so what time is this? Because it's still fucking dark. What are you getting up at 9?
No, but that's what... The sun isn't in the fucking alarm. The sun is a light. I thought that was fairly obvious.
It's at, when I wake up at like 6:30, it's pitch black. When I take Bodhi to daycare, it's like 7.
You don't
understand
how lights work. You can put, that's the point of it. It's fucking dark outside. So I use an alarm clock that has a light.
What?
Which I said was the sun.
Yeah, but
as a joke.
Did you think that he was talking about outside light?
I knew what he was talking about because I went with him to, Dylan and I went to JB Hi-Fi.
Oh, trying to find him.
I've seen them before, but I just...
Sorry, it sounded like you were just saying you had the window, like the blinds up and the light came up, which woke you up a little bit, and then the alarm went off, which is exactly what you're saying, but you're using... your phone or physical...
No, so it's a physical... Philips do a product that is...
Took out a loan for this one, definitely.
It's $50.
Oh, that's pretty good.
$50? Really?
It was cheap, but the thing is, I found out why it was cheap in some ways, because... the way that it works is that Pete Shepherd has one of these. He was telling me about it. He's like, oh man, I got a cheap one. It just beeps. It doesn't like and so
it's an alarm.
It's an alarm or whatever. But friends who have one of these, what happens is the light brightens up over like the course of 10 minutes or whatever. And so I woke up 2 minutes before my alarm went off, which is great.
Good.
And which was 5:30. I'd set it for 5:30, and I got up at 5:28, which is amazing. Humble brag, early riser. And so the thing that was missing though was it was, as far as I was aware, was meant to make a bird sound. It was meant to be birds, and I sold that into Brie, where it's like, oh, it chirps. Anyway, so I like get it from Amazon and I set it all up.
Yeah.
And then that turns out there was the $100 one. And so I got the $50 one, which is beeps. And so when I set it all up, I showed Brie how it all worked. I was just trying to I was burying the lead, didn't want to mention it.
Oh, you knew at this point?
Well, yeah, I knew. I was like, oh, fuck, it doesn't do the
bird. It's not
like,
the chirp.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. And she's like, so I showed Brie, she's like, oh, wow, the light's awesome. Can you just switch it to the bird sound though? Because I can't stand that beeping.
You're going to have to send this back.
Oh, so no, I'm not sending it back. It's from fucking Amazon US.
You can't send it back?
No, it's good. The thing is, my point was, the idea is the light, it's really cool how it works. And so if you're not awake by the time the light is bright, then you're probably, the beep is okay.
Yeah, I like the sound of this. I've been thinking about, because our fucking alarm wakes up Bodhi. Beep, 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 beep. Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah.
Just our phone.
Oh, the light would be perfect then. It's very good. And it's like a really nice warm light. The other cool feature, guys, which you didn't know about, you can press a button and it turns the light on as a lamp.
Wow. Fuck. I mean, the only feature is cool.
So I was reading a book and I just used that as a lamp.
The only feature it's missing is its ability to write Seth Godin's book by hand.
No, that's all happening. I'll do an hour today live
you
stream.
Said that yesterday.
That's right, Dylan. He said, oh, there's the book. Josh forgot to take it home.
Oh, yeah.
You had it on the table. I actually thought yesterday, driving to work today, I was like, this could possibly just be this running joke that Josh has had it promised for 10 years. It's 10 years into the Daily Talk Show and he still hasn't fucking done it.
It gets a bit silly.
We have no relationship with Seth Godin anymore. It's too embarrassing. But I thought I'd actually probably be okay if you never did it. And it was just this joke how you made a promise and never fulfilled it.
No, I actually want to do it.
I hope that gives you I hope me succumbing to the thought that it's never getting done is the motivation for you to be like, well, fuck you, Tommy. Fuck you, Tommy.
I don't know if that...
wouldn't motivate you?
I don't know. Maybe. We've got a 12:30 meeting and it's with people that you are friends with, right? And it's a professional... meeting, and I've got anxiety of how we're greeting.
Oh, it's just the.
I know what you're going to do.
What, going for a?
Yeah, you'll give them a kiss. Hello.
I always just go in for a bit of a kiss. I've been embracing the awkwardness. I had the most awkward hold with a woman the other day. Because I'm not kissing. I mean, most of the time, unless it's my mate Karim, I always give him a kiss on the cheek when I see him. But, it's usually a woman that I'm giving a peck on the cheek to, or an Italian man if he's up for it. But I just had this moment where I kind of went in and she didn't kiss me and then it just became this hold and I was like, how long do I get this?
I think the hug is a safer bet. I think the thing is, especially with, say, us doing the podcast and stuff,
yeah,
we're dealing with faces of makeup and all that sort of thing. And so it's like, you don't want to have to worry about like...
You're fine, dude. You got fucking black. I'm the one that has to worry about like getting makeup on my shirt.
No, but the thing is like ruining their makeup or whatever.
It'd
like
have if to you be go, so, it'd have to be a Kardashian with a 7 centimeter thick layer of makeup to ruin someone's makeup with just a little...
But what do you reckon a good... Like, have you guys...
Not a handshake. You can't ask Mr. 97. He's got no idea. He avoided the gym this morning because he didn't want to speak to Big T.
Wait, what's today? No, it's today's Thursday. He doesn't go to the gym on Thursday.
I just made... He told me that, it's Monday, Tuesday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday they go to the gym. I said, it's a great story. Like, imagine if he just was like...
It's a good story, but he has been consistent. So it's been a long story. It's been a story that's been going. I mean, what's 3D Dill?
Yeah.
Well, how do you approach greeting people?
Depends on if I've met them before.
Okay.
So like when I met you guys and Bree for the first time at the airport, everyone was like going in for a hug. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to go in for the hug.
So easy. Airport. The thing is that was like, it's very low level because it's airport, high vibes, very easy. You're about to stay at my place for a week.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's a warm welcome. Professional lunch meeting.
Handshake. Just,
I reckon you follow Tom. Did you go for a hug?
Just fucking whatever I do, bro. Well, hey.
Because then you have to worry about like Tommy's going in for the hug and then you've just gone for the handshake.
That's so my biggest concern.
Just follow Tommy.
Mm. Oh, you know who I did fucking, that once. Oh, you know who I get. I mean, this is where it goes bad. I saw Andy Lee and Hamish.
Yeah.
And this is before Hamish was, you know, with his wife Zoe. So it was his previous girlfriend that he was with for
years.
This
is a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a very long time ago. I was at Nobu, fancy restaurant in Melbourne, and I had no place being there. And I come down and I see Hamish, Andy, Zoe and Anna. And I'd known Anna and Haim more than I knew Andy, but I knew him. And I'd never met Megan Gale, which was his girlfriend at the time.
You said Zoe then.
Oh, sorry, did I? Sorry. Anna was Hamish's girlfriend at the time.
Yes.
Megan was Andy's girlfriend at the time. Megan Gale, big famous supermodel. Anyway.
I reckon you could have kept names out of this story, but go on.
It's appropriate for the story.
I'm waiting for the Nobu bit where the Nobu bit comes in.
It was just at a fancy restaurant and they were in this booth and I were like, oh, hey, went up, shook Andy Hamish's hand, gave Anna a kiss because I knew her.
Yeah.
And then I just fucking went in for a kiss with Megan. But I was like...
And what happened?
It was probably the only time that I've ever felt like it probably wasn't okay to go in for a kiss because I'd never met her. You know, so I was like, but what I'm saying is I think that's an extreme example where it's like I had no business giving her a kiss on the cheek.
So, yeah, what is the – if we were to do a bit of analysis on the possible reward versus the negativity. So what we're trying to balance here is rapport. We all want rapport, but we also want to be respectful.
What's disrespectful about giving someone a kiss?
I think there is.
What if you're going for a hug without a peck on the cheek?
That's exactly what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Yeah, do that.
They're not going to notice a difference. You know what I mean? They're going to be thinking. No, they're going to be thinking about themselves.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm not giving anything. I'm just going high. I'm just going to stay my distance. What's up?
I've literally worn my easy rig to shoots arriving, which is a big contraption. It's this big sort of rig where I'm like in a full brace.
Mason, you laugh like he's lost cause, but mate. You got to look at yourself. Yeah. You've actually got an easy rig on.
All the time. I've gotten very good over the years because when I was traveling with Nasan, Nasan would always go for a hug. And it was definitely risky and certain. You go to Pakistan, you got to be fucking careful who you're hugging.
I think what we're talking about is a varied situation requires a different level of thought. Work environments. Mm-hmm. So this relationship that we're talking about, we know them. We've known them for a while. Like you, through me, but you've known them for a while. So I think it's probably okay to give a kiss. A new corporate client where you're in at their office, handshake is the way to go. That is. It's just there's. You wouldn't go outside of that.
Yeah.
A date.
It's kiss. Hello.
Of course.
Yeah. A kiss. Hello makes complete sense on a date.
If you put your hand out. Fucking take that hand that. And slap your face.
I was literally watching this morning the on my feed, there was like an ex like agent who specialized in like body language and greeting and all that sort of thing.
Saw that.
Have you watched the video?
Where do you see
this? On YouTube.
Yeah.
The Wired one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where are you guys getting pushed this? Is this the Daily Talk Show YouTube channel?
It was just, I think it's trending on YouTube at the moment.
Is it?
So it just pops up.
Yeah.
Oh, filling out the loop.
Yeah, it's very good. But I think that what I've come to realize, I think that the pressure is in having an extra person. So having Tommy complicates it because it means that they are in real time having to context switch between, say if it was a kiss versus a handshake, I think I'm comfortable just hugging both of them out. Because one time where I did go for a kiss with someone where I wasn't sure recently, I kissed them on the ear. And so I've since completely stopped doing that.
How was it?
But no, it was just like, they were super nice to me afterwards. But I didn't feel good about it. I was like,
everyone is accepting of interacting, you know, that sort of greeting.
You said the Meek and Gale thing didn't go too well.
No, but I think it still fits within as much as it might have felt awkward for me, she might have been like, oh, it's a bit weird.
Why did you get the sense that it felt awkward?
She said one word and then I've kissed her and I wasn't directing my conversation towards her. It was like to the guys. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, I don't know, I just probably could have stood back and not gone in for it. I panicked.
I did panic.
But what my point being is, I think there is a general consensus that there's a general understanding across humans that interaction at greeting time can go a bit weird. But then it's like, it's not thought of after. People aren't going, that guy's fucked. It's like everybody who has ever done a greeting has at some point felt awkward or.
What about first impression? What about the fact that first impressions matter?
Yeah, but a first impression for what? I think a confident person that isn't overthinking it is leaving a better impact.
No, but I think that
on a first impression.
But I think that
than the fumbly.
I don't agree because I think that part of it is it's like you going confident with a kiss on the cheek could be seen as presumptuous or unprofessional.
But it's not. Are you talking sexual now? Presumptuous for what? Presumptuous in what respect?
Yeah, but isn't there like why? Why would you ever need to kiss someone?
Nothing sexual about a greeting kiss. I don't know where. I think you're blending the line between it being a sexual move and it being a greeting.
But I think it's not. So if sexual's high on the spectrum, of rapport, but then you go like rapport is a spectrum, and I guess that what I'm saying is it's like you are saying that you've misread the situation in regards to how much rapport you have or disrespect of boundaries.
I don't know if it's – I definitely haven't disrespected boundaries. I think there's a level of feeling that you can have to what it felt what it went on inside you in terms of how it made you feel. But I think somebody who is like a confident person might put someone at ease. Or
I don't think so. I think that that's like
an
that's
awkward
one
person. I'd feel more awkward about someone who is super, super awkward.
No, but you're saying it's either you kiss them on the cheek or you be awkward.
No.
And so what I'm saying is like once I've reconciled and worked out what I'm going to do, I'm going to commit to it and I'm going to be the most confident hugger that they've ever seen. However, what I'm saying is I think that it's misaligning the confidence as something that is positive rather than looking at it of a line of respect. So if you're dealing with but also we also have this whole thing, which is like if you've got a CEO within a company or whatever, or someone who's senior and they're a woman, and you would normally, if it was a man, you would shake their hand. What should you be doing in that scenario? Your idea.
I'm saying corporate environment. If you don't know, you have to have a level of respect because it's in a work environment.
Yeah, I guess my point is that we're like everything starts to merge, right? You start being like, oh, I know this person from here or there, or we're connected in this way, and so I think that there's. I don't necessarily think. Because I have done, like I've trialed that for like a few months, which is your approach, which is just like, just confident and just do it or whatever.
Yeah, but
then you can read situations afterwards. Yeah. And the fact that you look back and remember an experience from 15 years ago says that it has rattled you in some ways.
No, one,
as well.
I'm just pulling on a memory. I don't think about it at all. Like literally, mate, 1 second and then it's done. I think that is the difference. It's like,
but should we? But the thing is, so why am I thinking about it?
Because that's you way your brain's wired.
But what are my intentions of thinking that way?
You're overthinking what the person's experience is being in that moment, where it's like rattling the moment, right? Because then you're
putting a judgment on saying I'm rattling the moment.
Isn't you're rattling just, the moment for yourself, not for them. It's no, like but you're just, seeing what they're doing.
But can't you also just be in the moment and think? Like part of it is...
To be honest, this is the most I've ever thought ever about anything.
But do you guys know what I mean? Like the thing is like if like isn't listening to like feeling out the moment and understanding it and being respectful of those people, isn't that more
I think
sort of confident
making a decision before you go in, maybe you need to do your way. So don't make a decision about how you're going to do it, execute it before you get there, because then it's lack of thought, but then don't overthink.
But we also have, line. But the other thing is we also already have a sense, like if you've got a sense of, okay, here's the status, this is the relationship, you can make a decision within the moment, like before even getting in, of based on all of this sort of stuff, this is how I'm going to...
Yeah, I think there's some people who just verbalize it and others that don't. Mm. The process is still probably happening. It's whether you're actually consciously choosing to think about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it's a hard one. I think when it's anything corporate or real... pretty much anything corporate, you go in for the handshake. I mean, I sort of do it on a case-by-case basis, but it's literally, if it's outside of like work or something, then it's definitely a hug, but I would just follow Tommy.
Good boy.
I would just follow Tommy.
Good boy, you know, I got you.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What do you think?
Yeah, Tom? It like Mason said, it depends on the environment, but like, I've been in situations before where I've tried to plan out what I'm going to do when I go up and meet this person. And by the time I actually get there, any thought that was in my head has just gone out the window, and I'm just going to go with whatever happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so you're saying think about it and then throw it out.
Yeah.
I think it's, Matt DiVello is very much like you, Josh. He overthinks it. He did the dating thing, overthought it. Mm. I know he's talked about the interacting and, you know, handshakes, and I've experienced it. But it is just total... Once you can throw, because I bet you've been in situations where you've thrown it out of your mind and it's been really great. And it's just, you've vibed it. That's actually, it's hard because.
But I think that probably the difference is positioning it as vibing it and respect and all that sort of thing versus like, I'm confident, I'm just going to go in and do what I want.
Okay, then, but this is all, we're talking about something that happens so fast and we're trying to then unpack it and talk out the steps to get to the success, whatever that looks like, which it's not like that, right? I don't think it's like trying to tell. Stop fucking looking over to Mr. 97. You've done it all episode. Watch this back. You've literally, Bree, you're right. I don't know what you're trying to get at, that I'm fumbling my words or something.
No, I was actually looking at the camera then.
But you know, when we try and unpack something and then work out a step-by-step process to get to the success, but when you do that, it seems too mechanical.
Mm.
And so what Dill said was like...
Yeah, just...
Well, it is the...
Just go for it.
Well, I think it's the spectrum is what I'm talking about is it's like...
You're
I
on
think
the spectrum.
That, well, I think that
We're
you're...
on the spectrum.
Well, I think that you're saying that you got to be in the confidence.
But I think I'm being asked about what I think about it. Yeah. And I'm just thinking about myself and I don't think about this shit when I'm going to meet somebody. Mm. It's not even in my head.
And I wonder what that means.
It's working pretty good.
I reckon, it's Josh, pretty good. If you just feel uncomfortable, skip the kiss.
Skip the meeting? Skip the meeting.
No, just go for that. I think the hug is quite safe.
I think a hug is pretty safe.
Hug is pretty safe. What's even safer is hi.
No, that's panic. That's like, how close do I come in to say hi?
Just saying hi without any sort of interaction.
What if they just like...
That is horrendous advice. Because I've seen like... I'm meant to be on a podcast right now. Okay.
Derek's blowing up my phone.
Hi@thedailytalkshow.com if you want to send us an email. Tomorrow, can we sort out what's happening with the AirPods?
Who's sucking what?
Who's second what? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, feedback. Amy watched the podcast and she said, remember how I said, oh, hang on, what happens if it's, what happens if I never said that? Mm. She said that you really somehow just avoided even talking or accepting that you would do anything as a result of it, us not finding it, which I was like, I fucking didn't say that. You never said yes, so we don't have evidence of him saying, I will, if you don't find anything, I will do that.
And the problem is that everything's a spectrum, isn't it? If we've learned anything, and even if I think something's one way, Tommy would think it's the other. It's a Daily Talk Show. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you guys.